Thank you. It is good to be with all of you today. How y'all doing? It is great to see you all. Whether you're joining in person or online or catching this midweek, it matters that you're here. We say that often. It is so important to stay connected, to be on the same page as a church, to try to stay as much as one heartbeat as we can. And in this standalone week, we're starting a 7-part series next week that will go all the way through the season of Lent up to Easter. And today is a standalone. And what I was asked to do is to just spend time seeking the Lord and asking if the Lord might have a message for us as a church. And so I did that. I'm super excited. I feel like I do have a message for us and look forward to getting into the details of that. Today is also the beginning, or spring break is happening for the college students. So they're not here. They probably won't cheer much. But there's about 90 or so people on spring break trips. We have 4 places. I think we have a slide to show. One is in South Carolina, 3 are in Florida. We'd love for you to be in prayer over all of those people on the spring break trips, praying that God would move in their hearts around worship, community, and mission, the idea that they would live devoted, live committed, and live sent for the totality of their lives, and that this would be an experience where they really make decisions and lean into that, whether they've already made those decisions or going further or even for the first time. And this week has been another challenging week in the world. Obviously, Russia invaded Ukraine. There's tons of instability and questions in the world right now around that. And so I'm going to start today just by praying. I want to pray for the spring break trips, pray for the stuff going on in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters who are there and in the surrounding areas. We actually know people on the ground and in the surrounding area as well, and obviously pray for all people. So we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign and in control. Lord, I stepped out of the house and saw a crescent moon. Above that was Mars, and above that was Venus. And just struck that you are in control of all things, that you make all of this and sustain all this. You see everything. God, I pray that on these spring break trips, those who are on them would be moved in powerful ways by your Spirit, that they would be drawn and desire to live devoted to you for the totality of their lives, that they want to live in community with your people and live on mission for you, Lord, that they would want to live sent. And I pray for all those in Ukraine, Lord, our brothers and sisters that are trying to navigate that time and that space, Lord, would you give them wisdom? Would you allow the church to be a light in a dark place? Give them safety, give them protection, give them clarity. I pray for all the countries surrounding Ukraine and the brothers and sisters and the churches there that are going to be receiving refugees and trying to navigate all the instabilities that exist. Lord, would you give them wisdom? And we pray for all those in the country and the surrounding region. Lord, would you give wisdom? Would you preserve life? Would you save life in the midst of this conflict? And I pray for all the government. Lord, you ask us to pray for the leaders, and we pray for all the leaders in the world who carry this burden and how to respond and engage. God, would you give them wisdom? Would you give them clarity? We trust that you are sovereign. We ask that your will would prevail. Would you intervene where needed? And Lord, I thank you for today and the message you've given us. I pray that we would hear you speak in our midst, that we would experience your presence, your words through this message and the worship that follows, Lord, the music. Lord, would you speak and move in a way that challenges us? And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So when I preach, I often try to preach in a way that I can go back and listen to it, and I'm preaching at myself. So much of today is going to be like that. There is some energy. There is some excitement. As I was thinking about this last year, where the message comes from, the title is The Harvest is Ripe. The Harvest is Ripe. And at the end of last year, in December, I often look back and kind of review 2021, the year before, and look ahead to what the next year is. And as I was praying about 2022, I felt like the Lord brought to mind the verse, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more workers into the field. And as I was hearing that from the Lord and praying, I became excited at the idea that is there finally going to be some harvest this year, and in the Ann Arbor area in particular. And I felt like the Lord was like, yes, there's harvest, but pray for the workers. And that's where my mind began to shift to and focus on is, what does it look like? I know there's some churches coming into the area, but in many ways, a lot of us are in the church and believers. We are workers. We're available. What does it look like for us to live sent, to actually go into the fields, believing that God has a harvest prepared and ready? And so that's been my prayer. I've been kind of holding on to that since December into the new year. And as this message opportunity came and I was praying through, what would the Lord have me say here? He took me back to that, and we're going to walk through Luke 10 and just look at how some who live sent, what are some principles, some nuggets we can take from that, be encouraged inspired. And then the other thing to that is, as I was praying, I was just realizing in this day and age, like right now, after the last 2 years, there has been so much tension and so much transition and so much tragedy in the world that we have all experienced. Everyone in this room, from the kids who are downstairs in New Life Kids, which, can we just give Ayla a hand? She joined us in the fall. She has pushed the youth forward in incredible ways and got New Life Kids up and running. The youth had an amazing time at Spring Hill Retreat as well, filled the bus with students on that. And now New Life Kids is up and running. So if you're at home and you're like, I've been waiting for this, hey, it happened. We have infants through fifth grade up and running for kids. They're down there engaging even today. So give her a hand when you get a chance. Give her props. Super encouraged, excited. And as I pray about this, everyone from our kids through the youth, through the college, and all the adults, we've been navigating tension, transition, and tragedy in huge ways. I mean, we're dealing with tensions around our values and what we believe and what the world says about those things. We've been navigating transitions, chosen. Some are chosen transitions. Some are forced upon us. And then tragedy and loss. And there could be regrets or things that have happened circumstantially or relational loss. And what I'm struck with is when those things happen, those are opportune times where God uses those things to till hearts, souls, and minds, to open people up to the gospel and to God. When I think of these last 2 years, there's been a lot of tilling. Each and every one of us has dealt with tension, transition, and tragedy. And God has primed the world. And the words that follow that I'm gonna share with you, I feel like as I was preparing this message were not of me. This was just something the Lord hit me with. And it was that the pandemic hasn't ruined the fruit. The pandemic has ripened the fruit. The pandemic has ripened the fruit through all of these experiences. And church, the harvest is ripe, and I'm believing that this is what God has for us in 2022. Will we believe it? And will we go out into the fields? Will we lean into living sent for Christ? And when I've been hit with these words about 3-4 weeks ago, since then I just keep hearing story after story confirming to this. Like there's transition. College students have been in massive transitions. On campus, off campus, virtual, not virtual, having to constantly change through things. And there were some students a couple weeks ago that they learned that four of them in their midst had not heard the gospel. And so they said, well, let's set up appointments. And they basically had a gospel appointment with each one after the other, four in a row that night. And by the end of the night, we had four brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, it's awesome. The harvest is ripe. There was transitions that happened recently where someone's job shifted and changed, and it led this fellow to really wrestle with, okay, God is in my life, but how is my life going forward going to lean into who he is and what he wants for me in my life and my career? Massive shift through a transition. And then tragedy. Recently, I'd heard a story of someone who had a tragic loss in their life, and it led them to begin asking questions of others around them, brothers and sisters in Christ, who they themselves are not, and was going, well, who is this Jesus? And what did he do? And what in his life could affect me? I mean, the harvest is ripe. And we don't just need to tell other people's stories, because each and every one of us in this room, in this building, has dealt with tension, transition, and tragedy. I, in my own life in the last 2 years, have needed the gospel in my life more than I have ever needed before. I have dealt with tensions constantly that I'm having to navigate in work and life, in circumstance, and what people in the world are telling me about my values and relationships. I've had transitions where some of my closest friends and family have moved out of the area, out of the church, out of the state, which just is so disruptive. And I've had tragedy of loss of friends and family in the last year who have gone home to be with the Lord. And I've needed the gospel in my own life. And the beauty of that is there's nothing more motivating about talking about the gospel with others than when we are experiencing the gospel in our own life. And for some of you, just need to pause and sit in that today, that you're like, yeah, I resonate with this. I resonate with this transition or this tension or this tragedy. And I want the gospel in my life. Then sit here and soak up the gospel in your life today in that area, because God cares about you. And the pandemic has ripened the fruit. And I believe God wants to see a harvest in the Ann Arbor area in 2022. So the real thing is the harvest is ripe. Let's live sent. let's live as workers in the field. And as we're going to look into this, we're going to look at chapter 10 in Luke. And this is where he sends out the disciples, 72 of them. And this is a point that's critical in the gospel where it's chapter 9, Jesus, it says he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And so this was the point, a turning point in the book where he was leading up to this, and now Jesus is on his way. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He is the model of living sent. He is on his way going to Jerusalem to be handed over, condemned, and die for us. He is all out living sent. And he sends out 72 ahead of him to all these places that he wants to visit, kind of like his farewell tour in some ways. Like he wants to go share and be with people before he's out. And so we're picking up in chapter 10. And there's going to be some nuggets that we're just going to run through this pretty fast. I'm going to share some things and I'll clarify a few points at the end. And it says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. And I just feel like there's a couple things in here that we just have to grasp. One, Jesus wanted to go to these places. He wanted to see these people. It's the same today. Jesus is in pursuit of people around you all the time. He is wanting to pursue people that are in and around your life, even today. Another huge thing in this is he sent them in pairs. Team up with others. Sometimes we get so discouraged when we try to live sent because we're often just thinking, I have to do this. I have to do this. No, do this with your roommate. Team up with a friend. If you're married, team up with your spouse. Have conversations about this. Involve your kids. The youth have been amazing at living sent together. To fill a bus with spring break, we don't have that many in our youth group. They filled the bus. They invited friends to go and be a part of it. What an example to all of us. And you just catch a sense of urgency out of this, where he's saying, don't stop. Don't wait for this. Don't try to prepare for this. Just go. And for us, can we live in a place where we're willing to just, at a moment's notice, we feel like the Lord has given us opportunity. We'll seize it. We'll go. And when we pray about the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, something that we heard at a conference recently, some of our staff, was this thing about praying for Bob. I was like, what? Praying for Bob? No, Bob stand is an acronym, and it stands for a burden for the lost. So it's burden, opportunity, and boldness. And that's what I've been praying for us as a church, that we would lean in and live sent, and we would have a burden for the lost. We would look for opportunity, and we would have opportunity to testify, and that you would have a boldness to proclaim Christ when the opportunity arises. So this is how he sends them all out. And then check this out. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what the people provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. One cool thing in there is like he said, bless the house. Like you are blessed because you have Christ in you. Like you are blessed as a child of God. You can bless others, ask for God's blessing on their life. I'm convicted by that. I'm like, how often have I done that? I go help my neighbor. God bless this man, bless his property, bless his life, his house, and see what happens. Not only that, they're getting on other people's turf. Turf time is something we learned from another church recently, and I love the phrase. It's about getting on other people's turf, and this is what he's telling them to do, is to go to their place, go to their house. And turf time can really mean two things, getting what they are or where they are. So it could be geographically where they are, like go to their property, go to their office, go to their cubicle, have coffee with them near their place of work or establishment. It could be, what are they into? So what are they all about? Is it sports? Is it reading? Is it some hobby? How could you join them in that? It reminds me of Paul who said in 1 Corinthians 9, I've become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Another translation says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Jesus is sending them out and saying, get on their turf. Be where they're at. And then he continues in verse 8, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is near. But if the town refuses to welcome you, go out in the streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. There's some harsh words in there, but what I want you to catch is he says two times, like, the kingdom of God is near. When you show up, the kingdom of God is near. And if you leave, the kingdom of God is near. These are words spoken by Jesus. How are these words affecting us? That the kingdom of God is near. Because often we think of it as like, we're 2,000 years past Christ's resurrection and the kingdom, he hasn't returned yet. So we're kind of in that now and not yet, but we think it's like far off. That's how we often live. There's this idea of the Lord, Jesus is Lord, liar, or lunatic. If he's a lunatic and he's crazy, then just ignore what he said. If he's a liar and he knows that he's wrong, then ignore what he said. He's a liar. But if you believe he's Lord and he said the kingdom of God is near, we should respond to that. We should live in such a way as that. My wife and I, on Friday, got in a conversation about the end times, and we were looking at the book of Revelations and just kind of mapping out the things to come, and that Christ is going to come and set up his throne, and there's going to be a judgment seat and all this stuff. And in the midst of that, we were just kind of caught up in the emotion of it all, and she's like, we don't live this way. Why don't we live this way? Why don't we live as if, like, this is happening, this is real? And I was both struck with joy and sadness in the same moment. I was sad that I'm like, hey, we're not living as much as we could in light of this. Joy, because I'm like, we still have time. So my wife and I are already in conversations of what does it look like to change our calendar? Because calendars, we know, run your time. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. Like, how do we get the big things in life that care are important to us and bring those down to a family level in a calendar to where it's not just we're doing this on our own or on the fringe. It's front and center for us as a family doing it together. How do we bring our kids into this to where they realize we live in such a way? Why? Because the kingdom of God is near. And so it's a question is, how is the kingdom of God, is the kingdom of God being near impacting your schedule, your time, your commitments? I think it should. And I'm right there with you. I'm in the midst of refining my life around that concept. And then he continues, what sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in the wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. Yes, Tyre and Sidon would be better off on judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead. And this is sounds really harsh, and it is. And it's crazy. The thing you take away from this is that just as the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom has a king. And he sees and knows everything that's happening. There's no injustice, there's no wrong, no rejection that he doesn't see. He sees it all, and he will lead through it all perfectly. He will bring to fruition his will, and he will bring judgment where it is needed. Can you trust the king? And then it said to his disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, and anyone who rejects you is rejecting me, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. I love that Jesus included that. Because in our day and age, we are terrified of judgment. We are terrified of what might people think of us, that they might reject us, or they might even cancel us or push us out. And Jesus is like, hey, that can happen. It comes with the territory. They're not rejecting you. It's not personal. They're rejecting me. You're talking about the kingdom of God, and they're rejecting the king. It's not about you. Our job is just to tell and to testify and to share. And I love that he gives us that awareness. And then it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. And this is what I've seen oftentimes. A few weeks ago, Ryan Bonney was on stage talking about LT. If you caught that, he said, that's where you get a bump, you know, in growth and maturity. And he's like, he was excited to take his family and go have this growth bump. And that happens often. Yes, you're isolated. You're focused on God for a summer. But a huge thing of that is learning to live on mission, to leaning into living sent and getting yourself into places where you don't have what it takes. I mean, that's the reality in all of this. The disciples, he's telling them to pray for healing and miracles. They didn't have the ability to do that. That's God. And so if we live sent and we get into spaces where we don't have the words to say, but God gives us words. Or we don't know what scripture to say and God brings one to mind. Or we don't know when should we do it and we just feel like the Lord is saying stop and go knock on their door and we do it. And they're like, it ends up being the perfect timing, the perfect moment. When we start getting engaged with God in that way, we start recognizing that it's him working in and around us. It's his grace our weakness is made strong in him. His spirit is doing something where we can't. We can't have anyone cross the line from death to life, into faith, and have a life transformed. That's only the work of the Holy Spirit. We are utterly dependent on God to help in this. And as we do that and we step out and we recognize his grace helping us and those around us, that is joy. You have no option but to be filled with joy. Because joy is grace recognized. That's why it's such a powerful moment for many Christians. The moment they start living on mission and living sent is when things start clicking. And the relationship gets renewed. Excitement happens. There's joy. It's just powerful. This is what happens. We encourage you to lean into it. And what's out of this is Jesus doesn't rebuke them for that joy. He redirects it, though. It says, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Rejoice, not in just what you're seeing, but that your names are registered in heaven. And when I think of this, the harvest is ripe. Will we live sent? When we talk about living sent, we're specifically in our church, we have a discipleship pathway that focuses on worship, community, and mission, a lifestyle of devotion, living devoted to God, living committed to his community, and living sent as a people. And we created a tool even to help with that last one because it can be so hard to lose focus in our mission. So we have a living sent tool. We have some, I think, at the Info Center. We'd love for everyone to grab one of these. And what it is just a tool to help us stay focused on living sent. And it walks through the areas we have here for you, the areas of the living sent. It's by loving our neighbors and making disciples of Jesus. We get to know someone outside the church well enough to serve them. That's one of the aspects. Another is to go out of your way to serve a friend outside the church. And another is to be willing to tell someone who Jesus is, what he's done, or how he's impacting your life. So it could be the gospel. It could be an example of that. It could be a story of how God has come through in your life, that he's been your hope in a season of tension or transition or tragedy, that makes the difference. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I in the last 2 years have said, I don't know how people live life without Christ, without the anchor and the hope that we have. We have so many stories where we can say, well, how did you get through that? That's how we did it. We turned to Christ. That's what we do. And so this is an example. There's four lines under each one. You have get to know, serve, and share. And we want each and every one of you to write down a name, three names on each. So the fourth line is for all you overachievers. But if you write down three names, that's nine lives on nine lines that you're praying about regularly, that you're believing God has put on your heart and mind. And so we want you to take time and pray about that. Who are the people that God might want you to get to know? Two of the people on mine, I don't even know their names yet. I just have like a word that is like, this is where they work. I'm like, I need to get to know them. I want to know their name. Like, God has put that on my heart. Who are those who I could get to serve and who could I share? And there are three different realms of relationship, three different areas of mission, living sent. Some might be more challenging than the others, but if I have these names written down, I can start praying about them. It's trying to engage in what is God and when does God want me to engage in these, with these lives. And what's incredible is if just 100 of us do this in this church, that's 900 people being prayed for right now. And if we actually shared with all the people that we write down, that's 300 people that are going to engage with God in some way and hear about who Jesus is, what he's done, and what he's doing in our life. This is powerful. This is where incredible things can happen, and we believe in prayer here. It's our posture. We believe God can transform lives. The harvest is ripe. Will you live sent? And as we go through this, this is where I wanted to clarify, as I said, a few things to take away from the passage that we went through, and then we're going to look at Jesus' final response to wrap this up. As he says, the harvest is ripe, let's live sent. Talking about pray for workers, that God would send more workers into the harvest field, and pray for your people. That's this. Pray for the people that God has put on your heart. Do it regularly. Team up with others. We talk about team here. Pray together, go together. So pray. If you have roommates, housemates, if you have friends, if you have a spouse or kids, what would it look like to be praying over people in this season? And then turf, what they are into and where they are at. How could you join in pursuit of these people? And to do that with other people, joining up. And what we're wanting to do is we're entering the season of Lent. We're going to have 7 weeks leading up to Easter. And we want us as a church to live sent over the next 7 weeks, to really lean into it, to lean into praying for these people, what God might do. And for some of you, if you're viewing at home, a next step, you've been waiting for New Life Kids to get open. It's open. So come, join us back here. We would love when we get to Easter week, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. We'd love to see us invite and fill this place up with other people that maybe haven't been to church ever, maybe haven't been to a church in a long time, but we can't invite if we're not coming in and trying to bring people. And so we encourage you to do that. The youth, again, awesome example. They filled the bus to go to Spring Hill. Man, if we could live like that and see how many people might come to a place like this and hear the gospel for the first time on Palm Sunday or Easter, it'd be awesome. We encourage you to do that. And the series that we're going to be going through is only going to keep us focused on that. It's titled Testify. And every single week, we're going to be looking at lives of people who have lived sent in Scripture, testifying about Jesus. And so the harvest is ripe. We want us to live sent. And I want you to catch the final response, because when these disciples came back to Jesus, he encouraged them. As you're writing down, and this was the other thing, he said, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life, that your names are registered in heaven. As you write down the names, God reveals names to you, and you write these down and you pray for them. Would you just be praying for that? God, would you register this person in heaven? Would you register their name in heaven? That they're going to cross from life to death. And out of this outflow, we see something happen with Jesus that we rarely see in Scripture. We know that Jesus said he was filled with joy, or for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We were the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He had joy. There's not a ton of moments, and this is one of them, where it says, at that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And then he said to the Father, you have the whole Trinity right there. Jesus is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he prays, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. When you talk about like fear of missing out on a really powerful relationship connection, that's it. Like, we have it. You have it. You are connected with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who created everything. And when they were alone, he turned to the disciples and said, blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. And we have the Scriptures. We have heard of these things. Many of us in this room, we have experienced these things. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We know the gospel, that Jesus came, he died for us, he rose from us for us, and that he's going to return and make all things new and all things right. Man, we got to live sent. And the harvest is ripe. Will you live sent? Will we live sent? And I love that the result of seeing his people go out there as children who are kind of like little kids going and saying, hey, my dad's Superman. Like, they're going and saying, we know the King. He's our Father. And they were testifying, they were sharing, they were living sent, and the result of that was joy in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That as we live sent, it doesn't only bring us joy, it brings God great delight. He delights in seeing his kids live sent. The harvest is ripe. Let's live sent. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message. I thank you for your sending example, Lord, that you yourself resolutely went to Jerusalem for us. And Lord, I thank you that on your way there, you sent out 72, that we could see an example and how you wanted us to go. And I thank you for sharing about the joy, Lord, that our names are registered in heaven and that we can have joy, that you take joy in seeing us testify and share and witness and go. Lord, I pray that you would give us a burden for the loss. Lord, would you give us opportunity to testify? And would you give it a boldness to share about you, share about Jesus when we have opportunity? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.